Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 4 responsively. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals.
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call.
Tremble.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine abound. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, as now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Do you find it a little curious, as I do, that in this story, Jesus says to the disciples, "It really is me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet." Why didn't Jesus say, "It really is me. Don't you recognize the sound of my voice? Don't you recognize this face or the way I walk?" I find it curious that Jesus would invite the disciples to know him and to recognize him by looking at hands and feet rather than look at my face, look into my eyes, look at my hands. Do you think that you would be able to recognize someone just by looking at their hands or their feet? My mother's sisters have this strange tradition. Whenever they're taking photos, they always take the one photo gets snuck in there, and it's someone's bare feet. And then the trick is to, we play this game of guess who this is. Well, it's we can always figure out who Aunt Carol is because she had a childhood accident and her little toe is like going the wrong direction. Or maybe that's Aunt Ruth. My mom had 9 sisters, so sometimes it was even hard to tell them apart by the looking at their faces, much less their feet. Hands and feet, that's usually not the first thing that we recognize or notice about someone else, although it is very telling of who we are. Last summer when I was at confirmation camp with Jake and a few other of our young teens here, I fell off of a wall. I guess I thought I was 13. And I broke my finger. And even though I went to therapy and did all the things that I was supposed to do for a little while, I have lost some mobility in this hand, and that knuckle is a little bit bigger than the rest of them. So there's a new thing on my hand. I got a bump on this finger, maybe from all the writing that I do. And I've got a scar here from a early attempt at using a jackknife. And then I've got these weird thumbs. I was born with spatulated thumbs, so I can make really good thumbprint cookies. I could go on, but you know that's quite enough. But our hands do tell a lot about us, where we've been, what we've done. And our feet, too. California feet get a lot more exposure than South Dakota feet. But I think still we are much more familiar with hands than with their feet. Now, I think I could recognize a number of you by just looking at your hands. What a privilege it is for me to stand here Sunday after Sunday and place that holy bread into your hands. And after 9 years of standing here, I think I recognize some of those hands by heart. And I can't tell you what brings more joy to my heart. The hands that show some wear and tear, some hands that show that there's an understanding of what those hands are reaching out to receive, or those eager, outstretched hands of the youngest of our children who take it all for granted. God's house, God's bread, I'm a child of God, give me my bread. Hands really tell the truth. We can tell a lot from our faces, but We can make our faces look like we want them to. From plastic surgery to magic makeup, we can make our faces look like we want. But our hands just look like they want to look. From a nervous shaking to a clenched fist, that deeply embedded dirt from hard work or from caring for the garden, stained fingers from creative tasks or from house painting, our hands do tell a lot about us. Jesus said, "Look at my hands, look at my feet." And the disciples saw everything that he had ever been for them. They saw those hands that so many times had blessed the bread for the crowds, for the thousands, and also blessed the bread for their small, intimate group, remembering just a few nights ago that special dinner that they had, that Passover dinner with just a few of the followers. They saw those hands that had mixed the mud and placed that mud on the eyes of the blind man. Those hands that reached out and touched that burial stretcher of that young man who then stood up. Those hands that gave that young man into the arms of his mother. They saw those hands that gestured in teaching, reached out to touch the lepers and the sinners with love and healing. They saw the hands of Jesus and everything that those hands meant. And his feet, those feet that carried him across the deserts and plains of Palestine, and even across the water of the Sea of Galilee, taking the good news of God's love into the hearts and homes of sinners and tax collectors and outcasts of all sorts. Looking at his feet, they remembered that woman who washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. They remembered Mary, who sat at those feet while her sister Martha was urging her to get up and get to work. They looked at Jesus' hands and at his feet, and now they saw the wounds that just a few days earlier they were afraid to look at. When the soldiers came and threatened to put nails into those hands and feet, the disciples took off. They were pretty sure that what was about to happen to Jesus would happen to them too. So they hid away. They couldn't bear to see the wounds or to hear the taunts of the crowd. And now, after that danger is past, Jesus says to his disciples, "Now look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet." Jesus hadn't run away from the danger. He wanted them to look now at his hands and feet, those wounded limbs that are a true sign of who Jesus was, of what he had suffered for them, of what he had suffered for us. Maybe we like to imagine or to picture the resurrected Jesus in a clean, shiny, new body. But it was the wounded body bearing the marks of the cross that allowed him to be recognized. It was by his wounds that they knew him. We know Jesus by his hands and feet. We know him by what those hands and feet told about him. What do your hands tell about you? Where have they been? How have they served? Who have they touched? What have they taught? Where have your hands taken you?
I guess that should be, where have your feet taken you? Jesus ends this, or this passage ends, you are witnesses of these things. Witnesses have an obligation to tell what they know. We're having a conversation last Thursday night, and there were some legal people in the group, and they were talking about the difference between a witness and an expert witness. And if you're a witness and you've seen something, you have an obligation to tell. And if you don't come forward and tell, you're going to get a subpoena. You're going to be demanded to tell. Witnesses have an obligation to tell. We just witnessed the baptism of Colin and Trevor and Hannah. These children now united to us in the body of Christ. When the world looks around and is looking for Jesus, when they want to know what does it mean to believe in the resurrection, when they look at those children, when they look at us, that's the answer. When the world is looking for God, we are the answer, the body of Christ. Now made larger in this community with Trevor and Colin and Hannah. My ordination date is April 27th, so that means that I get to celebrate an anniversary this week. I so clearly remember kneeling on that stone cold floor in the seminary chapel in South Carolina, and the choir sang a special song that they had prepared for that day. Maybe our choir will learn it for Joshua's ordination, whenever that great glorious day might happen. I want to share the lyrics of that song. It's based on a prayer of Saint Teresa. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. You are witnesses. Testify by being who you are. You are the body of Christ in the world. You are the body of Christ for the world. Testify. Alleluia, Christ is risen.